Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 14 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging on to the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. Now, the last few times we were together here on Hope for Today, we were studying Luke chapter 15 under the title, The Prodigal God. In this text, Jesus told several stories about lostness to illustrate the overflowing generosity of God's heart. So far, we've looked at Jesus' stories about the lost sheep and the lost coin. And then in our last time together, we began looking at the story about the lost sons. We weren't able to finish our discussion of that part of the story, so we'll return to it today. So let's continue our study now on the prodigal God. And as we begin, let me read the scripture text, Luke chapter 15. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Then he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf." But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him." And he said, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." The shepherd, seeking his sheep, displays divine tenderness. The woman seeking her coin displays divine earnestness. Here we see the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the one who reveals the condition of lostness and seeks the lost. The sheep strayed away from the shepherd and was lost in the field. The coin was lost at home, not by its own volition, but by carelessness or indifference by its owner. Lost at home. What's implied by that detail? Could it refer to the Pharisees? They claimed Abraham as their father. To them belonged the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. But though they had all these things, they rejected the one to whom all these things pointed. So they were truly lost at home. Today, there are those like the coin who are lost at home. They've grown up in homes where God's word is taught and revered and obeyed, and perhaps for a time they embraced the truth and trusted in Jesus as the only way of acceptance with the Father. But at some point, they've become careless and indifferent to the value of their possession. Perhaps they have allowed the offenses of others to steal their joy, and that void has been filled with bitterness and animosity. There are far too many people like that today, my friend. Once again, Jesus closes this section with the important reminder about the joy of discovery and restoration. He said, "There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." It's God's great, overflowing joy that the angels observe and share. It's not their joy, because they don't understand the meaning of being lost and the glory of being found. But the joy of the Father is contagious. No one in his presence can escape its effects. He is truly a prodigal God. The final story, then, is about the lost sons. I assume some of you have heard sermons from this text, and I also assume, based on my own experience, that most of those sermons have focused on the younger son. Now, to be sure, his story takes up most of the text. But as I noted just a moment ago, both sons in this part of the parable are lost. One is lost away from home, and one is lost at home. As I was studying this text, I noted something I had never seen before. When the father divided his wealth, he gave the younger son his portion. But the older son received his too. Notice the end of verse 12. "And he," that's the father, "divided his property between them." Or as the King James Version says, "he divided unto them his living." I believe that detail holds implications that we would otherwise miss. So let's look at the sons in the order they're introduced to us. First, what I call the sensual son. This son demanded that his father give him the portion of the property that was rightfully his. Now, the inheritance laws of the day did specify what he should receive, but he had no right to claim it while his father was still living. But here we see the magnanimity of the father. The father didn't need to honor his request, but he graciously did it anyway. This son took his inheritance and headed off to live it up, to experience what the world had to offer. We can only speculate about why he left, but the text does yield some clues. His demand for his share of the property shows a level of disrespect for his father. And his lifestyle, once he got away from home, suggests that he didn't care for the order and discipline there. People who are controlled by their desires don't want limitations. We can also assume that the self-righteous attitude of the older brother was particularly galling to the younger one. As this sensual son arrives in the far country, the predictable consequences of his choices soon become apparent. With wild recklessness, he goes to the limit of sinful excess, and he squanders his resources. The word picture here is that of winnowing grain. His resources were scattered to the wind. And as soon as his money was gone, his so-called friends were gone too. And the party was over. Even as his resources ran out, a great famine arose in the area where he lived. And as a result of this, he begins to experience the pains of hunger. Now here's the guy who lived solely to gratify his senses, and now those desires are screaming for fulfillment, and he can't provide it. How sharp are those pangs for those who've lived exclusively for the purpose of gratifying their lust? And though it must have galled him terribly to think about working with his hands, he had no other choice if he was going to survive. But guess what? When there's a famine in the land, everybody else is looking for work too. So nobody hires him. And you say, wait a minute, didn't he get hired by the owner of the pigs? No, he didn't. The text says he forced himself on a citizen of that country. The farmer didn't want him, but the sensual son must have said, in effect, I'm here and I'm not going anywhere else. So what can I do? So the farmer sent him into the field to feed the pigs. Can you imagine a Jewish boy from a good family, accustomed to having a comfortable life at home, now feeding pigs? This is the most degrading work possible. And to add to his misery, he's reduced to eating the carob pods that the pigs are eating. Notice the end of verse 16, and no one gave him anything. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write to us and request it by its title, The Prodigal God. Now, the quickest way for you to contact us is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, The Prodigal God. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact us is to send an email to this address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, The Prodigal God, either in print or on an audio CD. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we conclude this study, The Prodigal God. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.